The title of the sermon is Seeking the Lost. And we're going to be in Luke 15 the whole time. We're going to read Luke 15, all the parables that Jesus taught in this chapter. And before we open our Bibles and start, we're going to pray one more time. Heavenly Father, once again, we praise your name for your mercy and your goodness and your love. And I pray that in a special way you can use me and touch my lips and my tongue. So the words that are going to be shared are not mine, but they come from you, from your throne. So please stay with us. Open our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Luke 15, and we're going to start on verse 1. And if you want to follow with your Bibles or with your pew Bibles, also all the words will be shared in the screen if you want to follow here. So Luke 15, verses 1 through 3 says, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he," Jesus, "spoke this parable to them, saying," let's go back a moment here. So it's interesting how Jesus is always reading people around him. He's always not only paying attention to what's going on right in front of him, but he's always paying attention to different things that are happening in the backstage. And quite sometimes we can see him addressing some of these things that are happening in the background. And this time it's not different. So as he talks to sinners, or people who are considered the sinners on that society, as he receives them and talks to them, he can hear some words coming out of the Pharisees and scribes complaining that he was receiving those rejected from society. How come this man who claims to be this great master, how comes he can eat, he can receive these sinners? How come he can accept them? They are the worst of the worst. So the way that Jesus replies to them is through three stories. And the first story is about a lost sheep. And this story is found in Luke 15, verses 4 to 7. And Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So the first thing we can think when we read this story is the obvious explanation. We're talking about the value of things. And for those Pharisees and scribes, a sheep was valuable. So he's probably talking to them, and they probably own sheep. And if you look to back in Jesus' time, if you look to the value or the price of a sheep, one sheep was worth between 2 and 4 shekels, depending on the age and the condition of the sheep. And 2 shekels is about 8 days wages. And 4 shekels, 16 days wages. So if you think about current minimum wage here in our state, Colorado, that means something between $800 and $1,600. So it's quite valuable if you think that you're working for a minimum wage job and you have, maybe you have to work half of a month or maybe longer than that to buy a sheep. So a sheep was pretty valuable. And, but then Jesus uses this story saying that that shepherd, that man, he didn't own one sheep and he lost it. He owned 100. So now you bring to perspective, if you have 100 sheep and you lost one, that is just 1%. So maybe it's not a big deal. It doesn't look too bad. And then Jesus continues, and now he start, without stopping, he just start telling a second story, where he talks about a coin that was lost. And that is also a very known story. Verses 8 through 10, Jesus says, "Or a woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found a piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And again, we may be led to think about the value of that coin. And that coin is called a drachma. In the story, this coin that was lost was a drachma. And a drachma was a little silver coin. And that little silver coin was about one day wage. Just one day worth of labor. Again, bringing back to our today's money, it's about $100 in Colorado. So you can think, huh, not a big deal. But then you bring to the perspective, comparing to the 1600, it's not a big deal, but it was one coin out of 10. She didn't have 100. She had just 10 and she lost one. That is 10%. So it is a little bit more valuable to her than the one sheep that was lost for that man. And there are other possible explanations for this coin not only being a normal money coin, but being a piece of garment that women used to use back then. And those coins that they had in their garments were more precious to them. People could not just take it from them or touch it. It was very precious, very special. So you can have this different, it can have this different meaning based on which kind of coin it was. And I'm sure those men that were listening to this story, they not only knew the society and maybe the values involved in the, in those things that Jesus was mentioning, but they also were very good with math. So they were doing the math in their heads and, oh yeah, I own a bunch of sheep and my wife has these coins in her garments. So they were doing math. And I'm sure there's something more, something deeper than just the face value of those things. Jesus didn't want to just have them thinking about the money. For sure he had something different to teach them. And we're going to get there. But before we go there, we're going to read the third story. Third story is a little longer, but it's also a very known story. And it's about the lost son. And it starts on verse 11. "And then he said, 'A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided them this his livelihood. I'm going to just make a pause here. Very interesting to know or to learn that what this son said to his father was probably one of the worst things a son could tell his father. Because he was asking his father while he was alive for his part of the inheritance. And that meant for him, his father being alive didn't mean anything. It was as if he was dead already. So he asked for his part of the money. And interesting also to know that the father gave them, he divided them his livelihood. The son, he had a brother. And we all know the brother who stayed, he didn't ask for the money, but the father split the money and gave them their portion. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That was also maybe the worst illustration that Jesus could bring. To a Jew, to work with pigs, it was probably worse than death. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So he was starving as he fed the swine, and he wished he could have some of that food, but he couldn't. He didn't have any food. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. And I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Let's again pause for a second. Jesus is talking about people seeking something that was lost. And apparently this boy was coming back home. And we may have the impression that his father was not looking for him, but he surely was looking for him because he saw the son far away on the road coming down back home. And he ran to meet his son. He was probably spending hours a day looking to the road, trying to find his son, trying to see if his son was coming back or not. He was not just waiting, not doing anything. He was actively looking for his son until finally the day came when his son came back to his senses and came back home. So his father ran, hugged him, kissed him, and the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." So he was recognizing how sinful he was. He was not even worthy to be called son. But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to marry. Now his older son was in the field. He was working. He stayed with his father. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked them what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he was received him safe and sound, Your father has killed a fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. He didn't want to join the party. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So now if we just think about the value of things as we read these stories, how can we determine the value of a son? If we follow the same pattern and try to put values on things, or try to think about what is the percentage of the loss for this father? He lost 50%, maybe, one of the two. So it was a greater value, but it was a son. It was not a thing. It was not a material possession. It was his son. So the first stories, for when we go back and think about the lost sheep, it's pretty obvious that Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. He was talking to them about something that they had that they could lose, and they would gladly go find it and call friends and rejoice because they had found it. But now when we read these different stories, we can now think from a different perspective. Jesus now is not telling the Pharisees that they are the ones who lost something and are trying to get it back. If we think now on the first story about the sheep that was lost, do you guys think that the sheep knows it's lost? It does. A sheep, when it's lost and the pack goes away and the night starts coming, they scream. They are not comfortable. They know they are in trouble. They know for sure they are lost. They don't feel safe because they are not in the presence of their protector, their caregiver, their shepherd. Is this sheep lost within the sheepfold or outside? Outside. So we have someone who was out in the world. He was lost. He knew he was lost. He was in trouble. And they couldn't help to come back home. And there's one interesting kids' Bible telling about, and even the Sabbath school lesson, talking about this sheep that was lost, and telling the struggles that this shepherd go through to try to find his sheep at night in the cold. Today we have big, powerful flashlights that can illuminate and make day out of the night, out of the dark. But back then, can you imagine with a little lamp in the dark, going through the woods, through the rivers, trying to find this sheep, and then finally finds a sheep in the middle of a bush being caught in his fur through the thorns and all scared. And the shepherd, although he's tired from the whole day, he just go and look until he finds it. And he even hurts his hand trying to free the sheep from that thorny bush. And then we can now think about the coin. Does a coin know it's lost? Have you ever lost a coin? Everybody, right? Especially the little ones. Does a coin know it's lost? It doesn't. And in this particular story, where is the coin lost? In the house. So now Jesus is bringing a different group of people who is lost. They don't know they're lost. And they are lost within the gates. And this is Jesus talking straight to the hearts of the Pharisees. You are lost within the gates and you don't know it. And there's someone who's actively searching, seeking for you. And then, if you bring that perspective to this story, one of the sons went away and he knew he was lost. But the other one who stayed at home, he didn't know, but he was lost inside his father's house. He was totally lost. And the problem when you're lost in the house is that you don't know you're lost. And that is probably what Jesus wanted the Pharisees to realize. If you go back to the verse 29, when the son is talking back to his father, the one who stayed, he said, I never transgressed your commandment at any time. That's pretty much the same story at the rich young ruler who talked to Jesus. Well, I've kept my the commandments my whole life, so I should be good to go to heaven, right? But it was not enough. So those Pharisees, they were lost and they were complaining because Jesus came to save that other class of lost that they could not accept. But through Jesus' eyes, everyone was lost. That's why he came. He came to bridge that gap. Because without him, no matter how well you keep the commandments, no matter how is your church attendance or your tithes or offerings or all the good things that you can do to society, it doesn't matter. Without Jesus, you're just lost within the gates. I was talking to our lifestyle guests in this last session, and I talk about this story to them. And in the end, this lady, he came to ask me, how could I be sure that that son was lost? The one who stayed at home. How could I be sure that he was lost? And it's very simple, the answer. He was doing, at the human eyes, he was doing everything right. But he didn't have the love. He lacked the love for his brother, for his father. And that's what happens when Jesus gets out of your sight. You may be doing everything, but you lack the love. And without the love, you cannot accept the other class of lost. And you cannot realize that you are one of them. You are also lost. But the good news is that the shepherd is actively seeking for you and for me. He's actively looking for that sheep, looking for that coin, looking for that son. He's the woman looking for the coin. He's the father looking for the son. Not only the one son, but both of them. The father knew, so he came to reason with his son, trying to bring him back, bring him closer. He's always seeking the lost. And that is my prayer, that you and me, you and I, we realize that we're lost and we need that shepherd. And we may feel compassion about other people who are also lost and they may not know it. And the robe of righteousness that this father brought to his son, that beautiful robe and sandals and ring, that represents what God is bringing to us, what Christ is bringing to us. His robe, his sandals, his crown, his ring. So my prayer is that we come closer to Jesus and realize our condition always, and help him to find other people who are also lost.